scientifically speaking person will tell you how many kilowatts is the gasoline motor in their automobile. You and I rate it in horsepower. A scientific person will rate it in kilowatts. The same phenomenon, just a different size unit with a different name. It's like a pint and a quart are both a unit of volume. They're just a different size. A watt hour and a joule are the exact same unit, just a different size. So joule is a unit of energy, and when it comes to a battery, we normally rate a battery in ampere hours. Well, while the battery is putting out that many amperes for that many hours before it goes dead, it's doing it at some kind of voltage. So you could measure the watts coming out of the battery. In other words, how many amps am I drawing? How many volts is it delivering at the same time? Multiply the two together, it's watts. And watts times seconds, or watts times hours, is watt hours. I could rate the watt hours of a D cell.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
I could also convert that into joules. I could tell you how many joules comes out of that flashlight battery. And another system of units of energy, and this is going to really drive you guys up a wall, is calories and BTUs, British Thermal Units. So when it comes to total amount of energy that has been expended or consumed, here's all the crazy units you've got. Calorie and kilocalorie, joule, watt hour, BTU, these are all units of energy, total energy, watts times time. So a joule is a unit of energy. A certain number of joules is a watt hour. Our electric meters measure watt hours. Now, you probably have some better ways of relating these. It's a whole lot of terms. I know it's going to confuse the daylights out of people. But you can take each one of these words, Google them, and Wikipedia will show you some diagrams and has some pretty nice words. I like Wikipedia, even though many of the instructors in schools will say you're not allowed to use it as a reference. I find that darn nice most of the time. And even though it occasionally contained an error, lots of people read it, correct the error, therefore it is peer-reviewed. So Google each one of these words and look up what Wikipedia has got to say for them. K2KEY, K2LIW.
KC2QAQ.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Whenever I think of joule, I'm always thinking of work. In other words, how much work is done, and energy that's used. In other words, how much energy was used or dissipated over a period of time to do work is a joule. So basically, a newton is a force over 1 meter. So if you use a newton, a force over 1 meter, it's a measure of how much work was done. That's kind of just a very simplistic way of saying it, but it's basically energy that was used up to do some kind of work, and joule is kind of a measure of the science of how much work was actually done. Simplest way I can think of explaining it, KC2QIQ.
Yeah, there's one other thing I should have mentioned. A watt second is a joule. A newton meter is a joule. So I often say a joule is a newton meter is a watt second. Exact same unit, just different ways of expressing it. 1 watt for 1 second. If my battery was putting out 1 volt, and I'm drawing 1 ampere out of it, it's generating 1 watt, and if I let it run for 1 second, it has generated 1 joule of energy. Also, it has generated 1 watt second of energy. Work is the rate of using energy. So you got to be careful now. You said the work that was done. Common used language. But in the scientific world, it can get you into a little bit of trouble. Just like whenever anybody uses the word stress, they always link it with strain. Hey, I'm under a lot of stress and strain. That's a common term. We link it together. Scientifically, it's wrong. Stress is the force that you're applying to your bar of metal. Strain is its response, the way it bends or deforms. So there's a definite difference with stress and strain, even though in common language we link it together. By the same token, if I expend an amount of energy equal to 1 watt second or 1 joule, the 1 watt is the rate at which I am consuming energy. It's the rate at which I'm doing the work, is one way of putting it. Okay, now could I call it total work done? I guess I could. Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you, Glenn. I shouldn't have disagreed with you. When I run that plow across my field, that horse is applying, or that tractor is applying, a certain amount of force to that plow. He's doing it for a certain distance, so he's expending some amount of joules. And so once I've plowed that field, it's a certain amount of work I've done on that field, in common language. I've expended a certain amount of joules to do that work. I guess I could say, again, different words representing somewhat the same phenomena. I know.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
I'm pretty sure I've confused people by trying to relate all these terms and pushing in too many terms at once. So Mel's going to simplify it for us. He's going to use the word basic. Basically, what does all this stuff equal, Mel? T2KUI. T2RIW.
That's what I'm trying in my mind to get this. I found that's what everybody asked me. Please explain these things simply as we finally then get it. All right. Let's back it all up. I'll start at the most basic way I can, and let's talk about the ampere. Basically, we know an ampere is a unit of current, and we think of it commonly, usually we think of it if somebody said, well, you know, the unit of current, what would you say? It would be maybe said like a quantity, the unit of quantity. But actually, if we look at the ampere, it's actually, as Dick was saying, rate, R-A-T-E. It's the rate or quantity per unit of time. So if I gave an equivalent to what is an ampere, and I used hydraulic water, hydraulic as an equivalent, I would say gallons per unit of time would be equivalent to an ampere, I think. And if you look at it in the metric system, the equivalent to gallons, or we would say in a metric system, liters, and they would use the term that we now converted it over back to electrical, would be the term of coulomb, C-O-U-L, is it O-M-B, is that correct spelling of it, Dick? Over.
Yeah, I think you got the spelling right, and I like your water analogy for amperes. And by the way, roughly 10 with 19 zeros, 1 with 19 zeros of it. I'm rounding off a little here. 10 to the 19th power. That number of electrons moving past a point in your wire in 1 second is called 1 ampere. So 10, 1 with 19 zeros after it, round it off. What was that again?
6.25 times 10 to the 20, something like that.
What was that?
6.25 times 10 to the 18th power.
I'm rounding off 10 to the 19. Okay. 1 with 19 zeros after it, round it off. That number of electrons, approximately, passing 1 point in 1 second, is called 1 ampere. If you got half that number of electrons, passing by the point in 1 second, we call it half an ampere. And also, that number of electrons accumulated somewhere, whether you put them into your battery or whether you put them onto a capacitor plate, that number of electrons, which represents a certain rate of electrons per second and a certain number of seconds, that number of electrons is called 1 coulomb of electrons. So, that number of electrons passing by 1 point in a second is called an ampere. I could also say a coulomb's worth of electrons passing 1 point in a second is an ampere. Back to you, Mel. K2KEY, K2RIW.
Roger, this is K2KEY. Okay, so saying in another way, a simpler way, if we have, we could say, let's say we have, what, 50 millicoulombs. 50 millicoulombs. We actually could say this is 50 millicoulombs per second, which we would call it, basically, I think a simpler way would be, say, 50 milliamperes. So far, correct. Over.
You got it. Exactamente. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm trying to do this very slow. Trying to do this very slow analysis, work our way up to joules. Now, the watt, as Dick was saying, the watt is basically a measure of power. It also would be, what? The watt would also be basically a measure of the rate instead of quantity, whereas an ampere is basically, we'd say a quantity, we would say the watt is basically the rate instead of the quantity. So, if we have 1 coulomb per second, it could actually be called 1 ampere. I think that's the best analogy to coulomb to 1 ampere. Correct? Over.
Yes. But a watt is, in one system of units, 1 ampere combined with 1 volt. So the ampere is the number of electrons flowing per second. The volt, you could say, is the pressure behind them. A little bit similar to how hard I'm pushing that plow when it goes across the field. So those electrons, ampere is how many electrons go through your wire in 1 second, but how hard I'm forcing them, the pressure behind it, I could call that a volt. And converting that into something that's a little easier to understand is kind of difficult. But that pressure, called 1 volt, electrostatic, electromagnetic pressure, I still keep relating it to pressure. And that rate of electron combined, 1 volt, 1 ampere, we call it 1 watt. And a watt is a unit of power, and a unit of power is the rate at which you're accumulating energy. Because now, if I allow that 1 ampere and 1 volt to flow for 1 second, that's now a watt second, and we call that a joule of energy. That's got a certain number of calories. It's got a certain number of BTUs. And these are equivalent units, but each unit is a different size. Sort of like a cup and a quart. K2KEY, K2LIW.
How does current have from 120 to 240?
When we talk about 120 and 240, and we call it current, we're really technically using the wrong term. 120 and 240 is a voltage number. Yeah, you connect a load to it and current flows. So I connect my electric range to a 240 line. I supply the 240 current is the termination, is a common terminology, but you're misusing the terms. The 240 and the 120 are voltage numbers. If you don't connect anything to it, no current flows. So to call it 120 current and 240 current, scientifically speaking, is wrong. To an electrical wireman, to a guy, an electrical contractor, it's a perfectly good word. Everybody knows what it means. But scientifically, you got a problem. It's a voltage. 120 is a voltage, 240 is a voltage. It is the pressure capability it's able to supply when you connect a load to it. That's one way of putting it. I know this is the first time you hear it. It's going to be kind of crazy. I wonder if you got a further question on that one.
So basically, I was wondering, by the way, this is CB2MAR. You know how when something runs at 1 amp at 120 volts, then the current goes to half an amp at 240? How does that happen? The voltage doubles and the current decreases to half. Explain how that works.
I'm going to do that for you right now. Remember, Gabe, that if I've got an electric motor, let's say it's got two different windings to it. One winding will work very nicely on 120 volts, and if I wire the motor the other way, it'll run very nicely on 240 volts. But in both cases, let's assume that it's a 1-horsepower motor. It's got a certain diameter to its shaft. It's got a certain diameter to its armature and to its field. That electric motor I'm describing is capable of producing 1 horsepower when it's running my my circular saw that I cut my 2x4s with. Or maybe it's a 1-horsepower motor that's on my skill saw. So I want 1 horsepower out of it. If it's running very high efficiency, I'm going to put 746 watts of energy, power. I'm going to put 746 watts of power into it so that it's capable of giving me this mechanical conversion, and I get mechanical power out of it that I call 1 horsepower. But now I can deliver to it 746 watts by two different means. I can give it a 120 volts at some number of amperes, or I can give it 240 volts at half the number of amperes. Since watts is the product, multiplication, of amps and volts, but I want to keep the watts the same, if I double the voltage, and I'm going to multiply it by some number of amperes, I better half the amperes, in order to keep the wattage the same. So when I'm winding the primary of my transformer, from my transmitter, on 120 or 240, or I'm using different windings on my electric motor, in either case, I'm trying to keep the watts constant. My amplifier is always going to deliver the same number of watts, as long as I don't change the voltage on the plate and the amount of drive. And how I deliver that power to my transmitting tube, I got two different ways of doing it. I can wire the transformer for 120 or wire the transformer to 240. But in either case, I want to deliver the same number of watts. So that's the reason why current goes down when volts goes up, or vice versa. Does that make a little more sense, Gabe? KB2MAR, K2LAW?
Well, sounds. So basically, the light bulb works in a way resistance-wise. So 120 is the bulb designed for 250. The bulb is designed for 240, so it would be double the resistance for
You've got it. In theory, I can buy light bulbs that run on 240. A 100-watt light bulb, first of all, 100-watt, let me make it a 120-watt light bulb. A 120-watt light bulb running on 120 volts is going to draw exactly 1 ampere. A 120-watt light bulb that runs on 240 volts is going to draw half an ampere. Because in either case, when I multiply the amps times the volts, I get the same 120 watts. That's the brightness of the bulb. So that bulb that draws half the current at twice the voltage, believe it or not, has 4 times more resistance. I know that sounds crazy at first. So a 240 watt light bulb, if I could put an ohmmeter on it when it's operating, would have 4 times the resistance as a 120 watt light bulb. When I double the voltage, ordinarily the current would double, but I want the current to half. That's a 4-to-1 ratio. KB2MAR, K2LAW.
K2QAQ.
Glenn recognized, but here we go. Gabriel first.
Yes. That's a little bit hard to understand because I've always been, with double the resistance the current would have, but that's kind of throwing me how you quadruple the resistance. That's strange.
Yeah, if I've got a 120 watt light bulb and I suddenly double its resistance, it'll draw half the current, and I'm still giving it 120 volts. My 120 watt light bulb just became 60 watts. If I give it 240 volts, that double resistance light bulb, I'm now back up to the same 1 ampere, and now I'm supplying 240 watts, not 120. So to keep the light bulb 120 watts, it has to have 4 times as much resistance at 240 volts versus 120 volts. It's a crazy relationship. KT2QIQ, go ahead, Glenn. K2LAW.
Class 2N.
Paul recognized, but Glenn first.
Yeah, well, I was listening to this, Dick. I thought of a great analogy back to joules again. There you go. Volts times amps is power, which is measured in a unit of watts, right? Now, if you take watts over time, now you've done work, and that's what you're paying for. Watts over time, ampere, watt hours, that's what you pay for in your watt meter. So the analogy that back to joules, like joules when you pay for your girlfriend or for your wife, that's what you're paying for. So watts over time is joules, J-O-U-L-S. And that's what you actually have to pay for, watts over time.
Okay. And how many watts is a 1-carat diamond ring? That's a joule, J-E-W-E-L, I guess it is. Go ahead, Paul, W-S-2-N, K-2-L-A-W.
Okay, Dick, I always like the water analogy that Mel had, but, you know, it's the same thing with the voltage and the amperage, you know, and why you, when you increase the pressure or increase the voltage, your amperage, you know, has to drop to do the same function. If you want to, you got a river going outside your house and you had a water mill that's out there and this thing turned because you only, you know, you needed a certain amount of gallons passing your house for a certain amount of time will make your water wheel operate properly. You don't want to go, you know, you don't want this thing to go, you know, to go any faster than it is, because that's the perfect supply for your mill that you're operating. So if you have a dam upstream, you know, upstream, and it's supplying a certain amount of pressure, your water mill will turn properly the way you want it. Now they decide to build the dam higher, and they double the height, and they increase the pressure of that dam. The water now coming out of that dam into the stream is now twice the pressure. And now that's coming down. For you to operate your water mill properly, you have to put some kind of resistance, or, you know, build a little barrier or dam before it gets to your water wheel. This way you have the same amount of gallons passing your house per second that you had before they doubled the size of the dam. So, you know, they increase the pressure, but you're going to have some kind of resistance before your water mill, make sure your water mill spins at the same rate that it was before the dam was doubled. Back to you, Dick. WS2N.
Good way of looking at it. So current, I could talk about the number of molecules of water that flow past your water wheel, and in theory I could count them, and the rate at which they flow past that water wheel, I could call it the current. A million water molecules per second, I could call it the amount of current, and just like you guys were correcting me before, I just went to Wikipedia, 1 ampere is 6.24 times 10 to the 18 electrons flowing past 1 point per second. That's the current of 1 ampere electrically. And the volts is the force behind it. Volts is a little bit more difficult to define. When you go to the NIST, ampere is defined, ohm is defined, but volt is defined as that amount of pressure that will create 1 ampere flowing through 1 ohm. So it becomes a little bit cyclic in the reasoning. But we interrupted Mel. Mel was giving us the water flowing in the pipe, equivalent to amperes, the pressure behind it. And you could, by the way, take the 75 pounds per square inch of pressure you've got of the water flowing out of your pipe, and maybe 1 gallon per minute flows out. And so gallon is a number of molecules. You could call that the current. The pressure, you could call it the voltage. And the total amount of water you accumulate in your pool would be equivalent to joules. Well, let me think now. Was it watts? Got to be careful here. Volts times amps. The rate at which you fill the pool, I think, is watts. And the total amount of water in the pool, I think, is joules, an equivalent. Whether I fill up my pool with water and I call it joules, whether I put water in the top of my water tower and I call it joules, it's a potential energy. In other words, I've got a massive substance up at an altitude. I could let it drain back down through a water wheel and turn it into mechanical energy. So water in a water tower I could rate that in joules if you wanted to.
Repeater, timeout, cancel.
I could also rate it in watt seconds. It's going to turn that turbine, creating some number of watts of power, some number of horsepower, for some number of seconds. A joule is a watt second. So, joule is an amount of stored energy, or total amount of energy that was expended to do a certain amount of work. I guess I could call joules work. You have to hear these a bunch of times and relate them in various ways, like Glenn and Gabe and Mel and Dick are doing, and eventually it'll become a little more familiar. They're strange concepts the first time because normal English usage of these words is rare and quite often in error. Just like I gave you the example before, a lot of people talk about stress and strain. To a good mechanical engineer, they're two very different phenomena. And to link them together is not quite right. K2KEY, K2RIW.
K2QIQ.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Just real quickly, I always think of a voltage in science terms or terminology with English as volt as being the force, current being the rate, watts being power, and then watts over time being work or energy, work over time being joules or work done.
I like that. Good combination. And we shouldn't be talking about stress and strain. Just like whenever somebody talks about being overwhelmed, they're always overwhelmed. Can I be whelmed? K2KEY, K2RIW.
And Roger, this is K2KEY. Okay, so breaking it down, we've gotten to the watt. So we could say that 1 watt could also be called 1 joule per second. And I was trying to think of another water analogy, being that you see people always like water analogies. We had a pot of water, and it's basically just sitting here on the table. And I said I wanted to raise that pot of water 10 degrees above what it is here from sitting on the table. And let's say we said that it needs 5,000 joules of heat energy to do this. So we stick a resistor into the water. We put enough power into this resistor to dissipate 50 watts of heat into the water. Now, at this rate, we'd have to put the power into this resistor, 50 watts, for 100 seconds to heat the water, correct?
You got it. 50 watts for 100 seconds is 5,000 watt seconds. It's 5,000 joules. It's a certain number of calories of heat that you've added to the water. And it's a certain number of BTUs you've added to the water. Very similar units, just slightly different, bigger and smaller, like a teaspoon and a tablespoon, or a cup and a quart. So, 50 watts, 100 seconds, 5,000 watt seconds, 5,000 joules, and we can calculate some number of calories. Back to you, Mel.
We increase the power now, and we put 200 watts into this pot of water instead of the 50. It would now only take 25 seconds. If we increased it further to 500 watts of power into this water, it would only take 10 seconds. Notice it always comes out to the 5,000 joules. How's that for analogy? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm hearing somebody on the input. It was not coming through the machine. Try again. One more time. The person on the input, go ahead. Are you running a PL tone? Okay, KC2TSS, what is your name, sir? then he asked the question, how do you determine how many watts for how many seconds or how many joules is required to heat the water some amount? And now you have to do a couple of conversions. A calorie and a BTU are both units that are often used in calorimetry. That's a fancy way of seeing how much heat is required to heat a known amount of water, some number of degrees Fahrenheit or centigrade. Okay, so if I was using a calorie, 1 gram of water raised in temperature 1 degree centigrade is defined as 1 calorie. 1 gram of water, by the way, is 1 cubic centimeter of water at normal temperature and pressure. So 1 gram of water, 1 degree centigrade, is called 1 calorie. So you got a cup of water, you could recalculate how many cubic centimeters is that cup of water. You have to do that conversion first and multiply by the number of degrees centigrade you want to raise it, and now you know how many calories are required. That's one way of doing it. That's the scientific way. The British way is British thermal unit. British thermal unit is defined as 1 pound of water raised in temperature 1 degree Fahrenheit. And just to be super exact, they say 1 pound of water starting off at 60 degrees Fahrenheit raised to 61 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the definition of 1 British thermal unit, 1 BTU. And they define the starting and stopping temperature, just to be sure, because the water expands a little bit and changes its heat characteristics very slightly. That's for the guy who wants to get everything accurate to the fourth decimal place. But in general, 1 pound of water changed 1 degree Fahrenheit is 1 BTU, or 1 gram of water, 1 degree centigrade, is 1 calorie. And there's obviously a certain number of calories in a BTU. That's a conversion problem. And again, you Google those words and the conversions come out pretty fast. Maybe that helps a little bit. And by the way, one of the best ways, let me drop, of measuring real energy of something is to find out how well it'll heat water. That's what a calorimeter does. A calorimeter is a very well insulated container that contains a known amount of water and a thermometer in that water. And when it comes to electrical measurement, you could put a resistor in that water, pull a known amount of current and voltage across that resistor. You know how many watts you're putting in. You can convert those watts and seconds of those watts into calories or BTUs. You can check your mathematics by finding out, does the thermometer say you heat the water the right number of degrees of Fahrenheit of temperature change? So a calorimeter, a body of water in a well-insulated container with a thermometer, is one of the very convenient ways of measuring energy. When it comes to calories of food, believe it or not, they literally burn the food. That's what your body does. Your body will take that 100 calories that's in that little bitty candy bar you just ate, and by mixing it with oxygen and whatever, it gets heat energy out of it, which eventually moves your muscles. Well, if you do it carefully enough under the right conditions, with maybe with liquid oxygen or whatever, I can take that candy bar and literally burn it in a small container, and the heat that's given off by that flame will heat the nearby water. I measure the temperature of that water, and in so doing, I measure the number of calories of energy that was in that candy bar. In many cases, they do it by literally burning the food. Sometimes it's kind of hard to burn certain things, but that's what's got to be done to really measure calories. K2KEY, K2LIW.
KC2MDP.
Mr. MDP, go ahead.
Yeah, Dick, okay, so BTU is a unit of heat, so that leads me to believe, like when they do in air condition, like 10,000 BTU AC would be how much heat the AC removes from the ambient temperature. Is that correct back to you?
Yes and no. BTUs is total energy of your air conditioner, and we keep skipping the units. We say that this is a 3-ton air conditioner, which means a 36,000 BTU. The missing ingredient that we all drop is per hour. a 3-ton air conditioner is called 3 tons for two reasons. One, 36,000 BTUs per hour is what it can, let's call it, generate. And everybody forgets about the per hour. We'll just call it a 36,000 BTU air conditioner. 36,000 BTUs per hour. The reason it's called 3 tons is that if I started off with water at 32 degrees Fahrenheit and I freeze it into ice, that particular air conditioner as a freezing unit will turn out 3 tons of ice per 24-hour day, if I got the numbers right. It'll convert water into ice at the rate of 3 tons per day, but that happens to be 36,000 BTU per hour. How about that, Steve? Back to you.
Isn't that reason? Very good, Dick. Yeah, I always wondered about BTUs and tons of AC and all that stuff. That's a great explanation. Thanks.
Isn't that 1 ton, 1 degree per hour?
I'm not sure. I thought the original 1 ton is the rate at which it can create ice of that weight. 1 degree per hour. I don't think so. We'll have to double check on that one. But I thought the 1 ton air conditioner is 1 ton of ice. You think it's per hour. Now, I think it's per 24 hours, but I'm not positive on that. And we may be 24 to 1 wrong, but the concept, I think, is there. KQKEY, KQLIW.
Six, the latent heat of fusion, WS2N, 144 BTUs per pound.
Okay, and if we convert that into tons and BTUs, it might come out right for 24-hour day. We have to go through a conversion there, Paul. How about you, Mel? Okay, I'm hearing somebody on the input. Your audio is very low. Please try again. Okay, Danny said he did the calculation and it's 1 degree. We'll have to double check on that. So, be careful with the exact size of these units, but we're hoping we get the concept across. Danny, you could use a lot more audio in that transmitter. K2KEY, K2LIW.
Okay, this is K2KEY. All right, let's stay with Jules. We're getting too far off that. I wasn't going to get involved any further than staying with Jules and not getting into things like Newtons and things of that sort, and BTUs and all. Let's stay with what I just gave as the example. We converted the Jules in this water, warming this water up. If you notice what happened, basically, if you remember what happened a few minutes ago, the same amount of work is accomplished, but the difference was the rate at which it was done and the amount of time required. So when we went from 50 watts a second to heat the water, which took 100 seconds, and we raised the power to 500 watts, it only took 10 seconds, but the same amount of work was accomplished. So just the difference was the amount of time. So the Joule is basically, let me put the Joule in a good perspective. The Joule is a unit of work or energy. And basically, it came from the metric system. But remember, the Joule is a unit of work or energy. I think that's the easiest definition of a Joule that's over.
I agree. And it's equal to 1 watt for a period of time of 1 second. 1 watt second is 1 Joule. So you multiply the watts times the seconds. That's why when Mel multiplied 500 watts times 10 seconds, he got 5,000 watt seconds, and he called it 5,000 joules. Or when he used 50 watts, and he did it for 100 seconds, 50 times 100 again is 5,000 watt seconds, or 5,000 joules. One case he did it in 10 seconds. That's the fast way, using 500 watts. And the other case he did it slowly, with a 50 watt heating element, and he did it for 100 seconds. Remember those little coils that you can buy that you plug into the wall that you put into your coffee cup to get them hot? In theory, you can use a big one or a small one, heat the water fast or slow. But in his case, you're trying to put roughly the same number of joules into your coffee cup of the hot water to make your tea or instant coffee. So it's roughly the exact same number of joules required to bring it up to the temperature you like. K2KEY. We got about 5 minutes left. K2LIW.
K2QIQ.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Just one quick modification, I think. I'm pretty sure on this one. Energy over time is watts. Watts over time is work.
Watts multiplied by time is energy, and I think we usually call it work. And watt is the rate at which you can do the work. 746 watts is 1 horsepower. 1 horse can do the work of plowing your field at a particular rate. In theory, if you use 2 horses, and if they're willing to do it, you can run that plow twice as fast across that field. The 2 horses are turning out twice as many watts. So watts is a rate of doing work. Joules is the total amount of work you've done. It's going to take a certain number of joules to completely plow that whole field. Another way of looking at it. K2KEY, K2LIW.
Dick, I'm just sorry. The only thing I was just trying to point out was that one, work over a period of time can be joules. In other words, the power over a period of time is work, which is joules. But in other words, if you have power over... getting a little mixed up words here. Give me a second.
Yeah, when you said over, when you really mean multiply, it could be a little confusing to some people. 1 watt, which is a rate of doing work, times time, a number of seconds, equals watt seconds, and 1 watt second is 1 joule. So a watt is the rate at which you can do work. A joule is the total amount of work you've done. It's one way of looking at it. Thank you, Glenn.
That's exactly right, because I was just, real quickly here, I was just thinking right again, 1/2 CV squared, that's energy, 1/2 CV squared times the frequency, that's power, right? There again, you know, the time on each one is an additional multiplication.
Okay, 1/2 CV squared is total number of joules stored in the capacitor. If someone tells you how many farads is your capacitor, that's the C, and if they tell you the voltage on your capacitor, that's the voltage, 1/2 C times V squared is the total amount of joules of stored energy in your capacitor. That in turn tells you how many watt seconds you can get back out of that capacitor when you use it as a battery to discharge it into a resistor. And you could check that by Mel's experiment. You take your charged capacitor, your voltmeter tells you how many volts are on it. Measuring the capacitor in farads might be kind of difficult, but you take that capacitor, you measure the voltage, Mel would connect it to his resistor that's underwater until the capacitor is discharged. He would measure how much hotter the water got. That tells him how many joules or watt seconds was put into the water because it raised the temperature. Mel would apply his mathematics backwards and he tried to figure out how many farads was that capacitor. You could literally measure how many farads or microfarads is your capacitor by doing that. Measure the voltage, connect it to a resistor that's underwater, measure how much heat got transferred to the water, and you can convert that back into farads. In Mel's laboratory there on Dover Street, that's what they do. Every Friday night, the rest of you guys go to a bar. He's doing that in his basement. K2KEY, K2RIW.
That's not too far-fetched from that. It says K2KEY. All right, a few minutes left. I'm just going to say one more thing about joules. It basically shows you, as in my example, whether it takes the 50 watts, 100 seconds, or it takes the 500 watts, 10 seconds. It comes out to the same 5,000 joules, which basically means that there is no free lunch. Whether you're going to do it faster or you're going to do it slow, the same amount of joules are going to have to be expended. And so that when we started talking about, you know, raising the voltage, like the gentleman said, if we went to a 220, we switched the rig from 110 volts and put it on 220, and the current goes down, draws half, we draw half the current, so we still have to pay the same electric bill for using that rig, and the answer is yes. So basically, there's the bottom line.
Next week, K2KUI for the ribbons, K2RIW.